what is it like being a sneaker dad? We're going to get into that this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everyone. As always, I'm your host, Matt Freites. I hope that this finds you well, and I want to thank you for coming back to this podcast. It's been quite a while. It's been, I think, 3 weeks since I've come out with a new episode, maybe a little bit longer. I have definitely had some people reach out and ask, what's going on? Are you okay? I am okay. I'm really okay. The thing is I have been admittedly in sort of a creative rut as it relates to sneakers. This is going to happen from time to time with anybody who does anything creatively, whether it's writer's block or whatever. You're going to have moments when you don't feel that spark of creativity. And I think earlier this year, I got so into creating for sneakers that maybe I just used up all of my creative energy in that time period. And I got to thinking about, well, how am I going to regain this creativity back? And this is a little peek behind the curtain. And I know these episodes don't do as well as straight sneaker episodes do, but I will bring it back to sneakers in a minute. But I got to thinking, how am I going to re-inspire myself? I've been very heavily into creating sports content because right now with football on, it's a lot easier to do that. There are a lot more easily accessible topics that you can get into in the realm of sports. And so I start looking around social media, sneaker social media and things, and I noticed a trend. I noticed that dad culture seemed to be very prevalent in a lot of the models and colorways that were coming out of shoes and sneakers in the culture. What do I mean? Dad culture is, to me anyway, catering toward a certain demographic of people. And I think more age demographic than anything else. I mean, I guess you could do some racial demographics, but I think really it's age. And when I talk about dad culture, I think of people in their mid-30s to mid-40s, essentially. And I mean that because a lot of us in that age bracket have kids of a certain age. Very rarely, if you're 35, do you have an 18-year-old? You can, obviously. But I think if you're 35 and you have children, they're probably young. If you're 45 and you have children, they're probably a little bit older. But for somebody like me who got started late, I have a young child. I have a 5-year-old, almost a 6-year-old, but essentially a 5-year-old. And when you think about the demographic of sneaker culture as a whole, people in that age bracket probably make up a vast majority of people that are buying sneakers, or at least the marketing is catering to. Probably a little bit older, I would say, in terms of skewing age range-wise, because obviously Jordans came out 40 years ago, so there's going to be a lot more people who are older in the culture. But either way, whether you're a little bit older than 45, you probably are a dad in some capacity. There is sort of a connotation that comes with being a dad that you have to dress a certain way, act a certain way. Really, there's an aesthetic that goes along with being a dad. It's really mostly a stereotype, and there are obviously a ton of social media accounts that traffic in that sort of thing because they're dad jokes and things of this nature. And I've noticed that there are a lot of sneakers coming out now, models and colorways, that seem to be trafficking in this space. An example of that is Costco and Nike SB coming out with a Dunk collaboration. And it says Kirkland SBs on them and things like that. They are all gray. They're about as plain as you could possibly get. And I remember seeing them on social media and thinking, if Costco were to turn into a sneaker, that's what I would assume it would look like. Or I guess more specifically a Nike SB Dunk. And you also see a lot of loafers and the Allerdale from New Balance. And now you see Jordan Brand coming out with not loafers, but more like dress shoes. And they seem to be going harder and harder into this demographic, harder and harder into this target space. And it got me to thinking about myself as a father, and that got me inspired. And what inspired me was sitting right in front of me all along, and it was my son. I had posted a reel, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, asking what people wanted to hear from me about. What did they want my opinions on, or what did they want to hear about my life? And a couple people came in and said, I want to know more about your journey through fatherhood. And I want to know how that connects to you as a sneaker creator and somebody who's in this culture. And so as I'm sitting watching football last weekend and thinking, what am I going to talk about on this podcast? And there he is. My 5-year-old son is sitting right there next to me watching football, yelling at the TV because he loves the Detroit Lions because his favorite color is blue. And there he is right there. My muse, my inspiration. And really, the reason why I do all of this? And so I started thinking about fatherhood. I became a father in 2020. I was 37 years old. I'm 42 now. My son has been through so much in those 5 years. I was very fortunate in a majority of that time to be working predominantly from home, to be as present as I possibly could be, and to be a dad that was similar to my own father, but even more accessible. My father was physically available, but not emotionally available. I may or may not have talked about that on this podcast, but that's what my father was. And now, unfortunately, as he's older, he's neither. He's neither physically available, not because he's unable to be physically available because he lives further away from me, but he's also emotionally unavailable. And I wanted to be the antithesis of that. I wanted to be a father that was in the pocket with my spouse. I was in the pocket in fatherhood, and I was going to be there for my son no matter what. And I feel like I have accomplished that goal so far, to the point where my son is comfortable coming to me for anything. At nearly 6 years old, he's learning how to navigate his emotional bandwidth. He is learning how to navigate the world. And it's difficult because at that age, they know what emotions are, but the nuance of handling that emotion is very, very difficult for them. That's why you hear about kids having tantrums and crying endlessly for the smallest minute things, because they have these emotions that just overwhelm them and they don't know what to do with them. My journey as a father has evolved every single year that I have been a father. In the first year, it's really about survival. And I know there are people who follow me and listen to this podcast who are going through that right now. They have an infant at home that is 6 months or less. And let me tell you, that is when it's toughest. It's tough as a father during that period of time because you are limited in what you can do for taking care of your own child, because the mother has so much that happens physically that you just cannot provide. You cannot provide breast milk to your child. You cannot provide what a mother's presence is like, because that child spent 9 months inside that woman. You have to find ways in which you can be supportive. And I remember the lead up to when my son was born and having conversations with my wife about how I wanted to help and telling her, you need to tell me one of three things. You need to tell me when you need something. You need to tell me when you don't need something. And most importantly, when you have absolutely no idea what you need, because in the throes of having an infant, especially a newborn, you are honestly just trying to survive. And I struggled mightily emotionally during that period of time because I didn't know how to connect with this baby. I didn't know that connection was happening because there is no verbal connection that you have. As somebody who is a talker and somebody who loves data points, it was really difficult to know, does this child have any idea who I am? And is this child only responding to me because I'm the only person that it sees on a day-to-day basis? And I remember having a conversation with somebody and they asked me, does your child sleep on you? And I said, of course he does. Actually, he sleeps on me a majority of the time. And they brought it up that we only sleep where we're comfortable. Got me to thinking about that. And I realized, wow, that is true. All the time that he's been sleeping on me has been connection. It just manifests itself in a way that is not as overt as we seem to have with adults. And at that period of time, I started connecting and I started trying to find ways in which I could connect. I would look at him every day and think about, what do I want this child to be? What do I want this child to think when they get older? And it dawned on me that I want my son to realize that he can do whatever he wants. He is not beholden to what I want him to do, and he does not have to fashion himself in the mold of what I think he should be. And how do I do that? How do I get him to understand that? I make sure that I am not one-dimensional. I make sure that I also achieve goals, and I strive for goals. And so I started podcasting. And the rep market allowed me to make videos, crappy videos, but videos. That was the start of all this. That was the start of me feeling confident enough to build on what I consider this sort of empire of media that happens in the room in which we are doing this right now. How do sneakers play into this? Well, as a sneaker dad, as he has gotten older, he has started to become more aware of shoes. He's become more aware of the fact that I make movies in his mind. He is more aware of what he wants. And when we go to the store, when we go to the Nike store, he now wants to pick out his own. And for the longest time when he was younger, I would ask him to help me pick out shoes. And he would always pick out the shoes that were of his favorite color of the moment. And that's all right, because I would get those shoes, I would style them, and I'd wear them out. And when I came home or when I came to pick him up after work, he would be so excited because I would have the shoes on that he picked for me. And now it has gone to another level where not only does he pick his own shoes out, not only does he have his own style, which is really awesome to see, he will sometimes want shoes that I have so that he can feel connected to me in the shoes that we are both wearing together. And I remember buying him the reimagined Royal Jordan ones. I have a pair of those downstairs, and I bought him a pair in two sizes so that he could obviously grow into those. And I remember he wanted me to wear them every time he wore them. When you're a dad, you find yourself wanting to do just about anything for your kid. And while it is counter to what sneaker culture really is, we don't generally tend to wear the same pair every day on end. It was something that got him a lot of joy. And so I would wear those shoes quite often when we would hang out together. He has since outgrown those shoes. And like I said, he now picks his own. He now has his own style. When we were in Boston recently, he picked Vomeros out. Of course, they were not on the discount shelf. And you know what? We said, this time, let's go for it. But as he gets older, his love of sneakers, if that is something that ends up developing, will then become a discussion about finances, because they are expensive. Anything that you want in life that is attainable monetarily has a price. There is a cost to doing that business. And he doesn't understand what goes into meeting that price point. When I pay $65 for a pair of his shoes, that isn't money that just came out of thin air. That's money that came from working hard at a job that I have and working hard at doing this. And there is a slight monetary gain from doing content, but it's nowhere near, obviously, what I do in my regular life. But he has no idea how much things cost. And so that becomes another evolution of fatherhood, where it's great to share in those hobbies with him now on just an emotional level. But then you have to start being a parent. You have to start talking about, hey, this is how much this costs, and you can't just have everything that you want. And I'm sure a follow-up question will be, well, why can you? Because I have a job, because I earn money, because I have earned the right, after taking care of my responsibilities, to buy something that I want for myself. And that's kind of cool. It's cool to have my son be slightly interested in something that I'm interested in. I don't force it upon him. I don't want him to feel like it's something that he has to love, but I do love the fact that when he is given the opportunity to pick something out, he goes in and picks something that is his own. He doesn't pick something that I have. He picks something that he wants, and I love that about him. And being a sneaker dad comes with a responsibility. Obviously, we already talked about financial responsibility, but the other responsibility that comes with it is also trying to do what I can to continue the love of the culture. As he gets older and has friends that maybe are into it too, they're going to build their own form of culture. They are going to build their own ways of living this culture. I don't think that the way I live it is the way that my son is going to live it. And I hope that that's not the case, because obviously I want him to have his own identity. But there are certain pieces of history. There are certain trends that will always be timeless in this culture. And I think it is my responsibility as a sneaker dad to teach him about those. To expose him to, how did we get here? Show him some of the sneaker history books that I have. Allow him to soak in the, how did we get here? Maybe even show him who Michael Jordan is. He has no idea. And he is born into a world that Michael Jordan hasn't played a sport in 20 years. There's so much history in sneakers that I feel is so valuable. And I love it a lot, obviously. I talk about it a lot on here. But I've come to realize that the history doesn't have to be important in the way that it's important for me for everybody else. I think it should be respected. I think it should be known. But we don't always have to traffic in that in new trends. I think that there should be room for new trends. I think there should be bandwidth and a safe landing space for people to like something that hasn't always been popular. And that's all about evolution. That's how the culture is going to stay relevant. It's how the culture is going to continue on. And as a sneaker dad with a son now who can be passed on this hobby, be passed on all the history and the love of this, I have a responsibility to make sure that I do that right. And so I thought about all of that and how I was going to inspire myself. There's no guarantee that I'm going to stay inspired forever. because right now we're in a little bit of a lull period as it relates to topics that you can sink your teeth into. There's a lot of podcasts out there, and no shade to any of them. We're all talking about the same thing. What shoes are coming out? What shoes do they pick up? And that's awesome. It's awesome that there are so many avenues for people to engage that way. That's never really how I've done this podcast, and it's not how I want to do this podcast. So with this inspiration now, I'm going to look toward the future. I'm going to look toward sneakers in a different way, and I'm going to try to incorporate different elements of my life and tie them to sneakers. There's no guarantee that it's going to work. There's no guarantee that it's going to be interesting. It's just going to be something that I'm trying, but I know there's going to be a lot of releases later this year, and I'm going to continue to look for topics the way that I always do. And don't worry, this podcast is not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. My brain is just sort of reforming under this new paradigm of who I am and looking at the world just a little bit differently. And I will always advocate that that is never a problem. We should always look at ourselves differently. We should always look at the world differently and be able to soak up different views of it and help us form our future. I hope this finds everybody well, fam. I hope this finds everybody safe. And I will talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear.